Hey, this is the San Carlos Computer Club. I am Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions, here to help you by answering any of your tech questions and providing you with the latest in tech news I think may be relevant to your lives. We have just finished our meeting for May 16th, 2020, our regularly scheduled Saturday virtual meeting from quarantine that starts at 9 and goes to 10-ish has just concluded, and it was a fun meeting. We really enjoyed catching up. We all like seeing each other again, and we are still broadcasting it on YouTube as well as a podcast, and that is what you have found, is our last meeting as a podcast. If you have any interest in this podcast, our blog, or me, check out sccclub.org. We've got recordings from previous meetings. I post new tech news there from time to time. We've got a Facebook page. Go there and like the page and become a member of the San Carlos Computer Club group on Facebook so you can get announcements of when we're going to have our meetings. This is a Skype meeting. It's recorded, and apparently we had audio problems I was not aware of until after the meeting. So the following recording is not the best quality that we've done before, but it does have the content and the heart of the meetings that we normally have. So please sit back, relax, and enjoy San Carlos Computer Club meeting from May 16th, 2020. Tech on. There we go. Okay. Let me turn off this music. Am I frozen or can you guys hear me or is everything working?
I can hear you. Coming in loud and clear.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. How are we doing here? We've got Dave and Stanley Irving and Judy and Linda and Chester. How's everybody doing? Pardon me.
Now you're in clear.
All right. Well, hey, this is the moment. Let me just do a quick introduction and let's go back to our conversation. I'm Scott Stimson with International Computer Solutions. And this is the San Carlos Computer Club, brought to you virtually every Saturday at around 9 o'clock, where you get to watch me have technical problems. I thank you all for showing up. I see a lot of familiar faces here today. This is awesome. I hope some of you brought some topics. I've got a few topics. I don't want to dominate the conversation. I know that we were talking about some stuff just moments ago. If you guys want to continue with that, or do you have a topic you want to bring forward? Linda, I have put your laptop to use already. In fact, it's one of my topics for today. Hi, am I coming through okay? Are you guys listening to me? Somebody said that I was making an echo sound.
Not now. You're good for on my side.
Oh, that's awesome. You're good. Awesome, awesome.
Sounds good to me.
Stanley over here can hear you nice and clear.
Cool. I'm glad to have Stanley with us. Thanks for joining us, Stanley. How many people do you think we've got right now?
Seven?
That's a good number. I thought there was a... Go ahead.
That's what it says.
That's what it says, is seven?
Mm-hmm. Well, no, plus seven. So maybe that means we're nine. One, two, three, four. No, we're seven.
I don't even have the plus. I've got one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten, I think.
Wow.
Well, Dr. Maggie might get on, and I saw Jim Cunningham yesterday.
Yeah, I think Jim was planning on joining us today. I've been helping him remotely with his computer.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, Scott, I have an interesting article I read that's related to what we discussed, and I think everybody should look it up, because it's absolutely amazing. And what it is, I believe it's in Sweden, a trucking company is driving their trucks remotely. And they're driverless, but they're actually not autonomous. The driver sits at his screen and can see the road and do everything that he can do as if he were behind the wheel. He actually sees what he would see through the windshield. And it's operating now, and they're expanding the line, and it's completely remote, and it's absolutely amazing.
You said it's driverless?
Yeah. Well, it's not driverless. They're driving it from the computer. It's a remote-operated fleet of trucks.
Wow.
Scott, it's just like a drone, only it doesn't fire missiles.
Of course.
But the screen totally changed?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
It's
for
a different mosaic than normal.
Well, you have two choices. You can do speaker mode.
No, I know that. But okay. All of a sudden, it just changed, like, bam.
Yeah.
With me not touching anything.
Yeah.
Well, if it's coming through from me right now, I'm sharing speaker mode.
That must be what it is.
Yeah. So I'm sharing it using my broadcast software onto a screen, and then I'm sharing the screen. So right now I'm looking at you, Judy, and that's what's going out on the stream. When I switched it to this mode so I could get Irving full screen while we were listening to him.
You killed Irving. He's not there anymore.
If I speak, I'll come back.
There you are.
There he is.
So yeah, I've got a couple of different ways to broadcast this. Well, Irving, I'd be interested in reading that article because I've heard of them doing tests in the United States, and they keep saying that this is going to be the next big autonomous area is trucking. It's a little frustrating because I've got friends that have just gotten into trucking, and it sounds like they're going to end up, maybe they'll be like drone pilots. You'll get hired and you'll go sit in a cubicle, or you'll sit at home and drive trucks.
Well, this is happening in real time now. That's what really got me. You know, the future is all kinds of speculation, but they're operating now and expanding their fleet. They showed the pictures of the trucks. I think they're all electric, and it was really astounding.
Oh, I didn't catch the part where they were all electric. That's cool. Somebody has got some sound feedback coming back. And now they're vacuuming.
Hey, everybody turn off their microphones.
Somebody's got some sound bleeding through. Who's this? Is that Paul?
Hi.
Hello. Hey, Linda, pull your camera down a little bit. We're just looking straight up your nose.
My nose? That's my camera. Way out here now.
There you go.
There.
Right there, yeah.
Right yeah. There.
That looks
Boy,
good.
I gotta hold it way out here. Better sitting at the computer than the tablet.
Yeah, it's a more comfortable position, I take it. As far as like tripod, as far as placement.
Yeah, you have to hold the tablet.
Right, whereas the computer holds itself. You guys saw the biggest thing that Apple has done recently is they've released a keyboard stand for their tablet. And the big joke is that is what has turned it back into a laptop. I wonder if I can bring it up while we're talking here.
I have a case for my iPad that lets it stand up by itself, which is what it's doing now.
If I put my tablet in the case with the keyboard, it would probably stand up. But I'm sitting in the chair. My tablet is in Arizona, so I can't use it. So I probably should just sit in front of the laptop.
You guys see this? This is the Magic Keyboard from Macintosh that's just been released.
No, you can't see anything.
You can't see anything.
Nope.
Scott, do you have your share window on?
I thought I did, but maybe it's turned off. Let me turn it back on here.
Instead of your picture, I'm just getting a picture of a computer.
Just a picture of the computer, okay.
Icon, it's not even a picture.
Give me one second. Now you should be seeing Chester.
A black screen.
A black.
And now Chester.
And now Judy.
Now the icon's back.
What is going on here? Well, there we go. Okay, how's that?
I still don't see you.
Well, you should be seeing a web page at some point.
Yeah, web page.
Okay, good. I think I've got some network delays in my network today. And so I think there's a delay that's going on, at least visually.
Well, your voice is just fine.
Well, thank you.
I don't see a picture of you.
Well, what I'm trying to show you, I'm trying to share my screen so that you can see a web page that has a picture of this new Apple keyboard.
Don't see it.
That's keyboard for iPad.
But see, I don't see it either. Now I see a web page maybe coming up.
Yeah, now it's. I'm trying to. So, Judy, it is going out. It sounds like it's just getting delayed. Because if you're seeing a white page right now, it's trying to load up this picture.
Exactly.
Okay.
So now we've got the picture.
Okay, so this is the newest innovation from Apple for your iPad. And the idea is that you've got it's magnetically connected to your iPad. There we go. That's the picture I want to show. It's got a hinge. I don't mean for Judy to be in there. I'm sorry. We'd get rid of that. Go away. Okay. So it's got a hinge. And it's magnetically connected to your... And you can see how it takes that laptop shape. The other innovation they've done is they've added trackpad support. So you see it's got a trackpad on the keyboard. So the big joke right now is that they have made the iPad so much more usable by turning it back into a laptop. The other part of that joke is that it's heavier than their laptop with this new keyboard.
Okay, so is it $500?
It's, I think, what is it? It's $299, I think. It's ridiculously priced. Where is it? Maybe it's $199. Is that the one? No. Where's the price on it? It should be right here. Up. Oh,
yeah, it's right there.
It's $599.
No.
You're joking.
That's what it says.
Forget it. You can buy a whole Samsung tablet for $599.
Isn't that pesos?
No, it's not pesos. It does have an S next to it. It makes me think maybe it's coming in wrong. But let's just quickly find out how much is the iPad Magic keyboard. If I planned on talking about it, I'd probably have it handy. $300. It is $299. $300 if you buy for the 11-inch iPad. and $350 for the 12 for the almost 13 inch iPad Pro.
Too much.
It is. It's
got, it's got on the iPad, the 11 inch right now. It has notches, which basically achieve the same thing as far as standing up and angling.
Yes.
So it's built right into the case.
Yeah, that's what my little case has, and I think it was $19.99 or something.
Yeah.
It's got a magnetic thing that shuts it off when I close it. It's got little grooves where you can stand it up. And
I think you're going to see those kinds of products continue. I think this is really a this is kind of a toy for people that have money to burn and they want to have a laptop experience. And they want to have the shiniest, newest thing. I mean, what's kind of cool about it is this hinge on it is rigid. And so you push it into an angle, a viewing angle that you want to, that you want it sitting at. But I definitely don't think it's worth that kind of money. I think you'd have to just be looking for ways to burn money. You want to have the cool, you want to have the coolest thing in the room. I think that's really what it's all about. It is pretty, though.
Someone will have it knocked off in a matter of months.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, mine's really clunky compared to that, but it also doesn't have a keyboard or a touchpad. So there are some advantages, I guess, if that's what you want.
Well, and the ones that have come with a pseudo touchpad have been really poorly designed because Apple has never created an extension for touchpad support for the iPad. And so if you've got a Logitech that has a touch surface for the iPad, it's really clunky the way it works. From what I've read, I haven't used this technology myself.
Scott, about 2 years ago, they came out with a pad keyboard, and you could disengage it and put it. And it was so heavy, I immediately sent it back. It was way too heavy.
What,
it wasn't really prepared.
What I can see with this is that this is going to be very heavy as well. It was very funny that they would add a 13-inch iPad, this keyboard. It's as expensive or more expensive than a laptop, and it's heavier than the laptop, the MacBook Air that they make.
Well, the problem with the keyboard and the laptop for the Samsung is the little part they fold back at the bottom to hold the screen up. They should put metal on, you know, aluminum or metal on it because the screen just falls down. Too heavy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, you can bet this does not suffer from that. This is absolutely an Apple design. It may sit at only a certain couple of angles, but it's not going to fall backwards because that's what you're paying $300 for. So it doesn't fall. I can't imagine Tim Cook in a meeting with his equipment watching his screen accidentally teeter off the off of his view.
I guess we're going to keep coming up with stuff. No matter what it is, some people will buy it.
I've got a technical question if somebody's interested.
Sure.
Okay. I'm using Windows 10. And every now and then, without any explanation, it happens more often than not. All of a sudden, you get that blue screen, and you have to reboot. And it's, I don't know if anyone ran into that, but it's like almost like the blue screen of death. Because of my vision, I can't really read exactly what it says, but it generally it says, check with your administrator or something.
Well,
anybody mention that?
you shouldn't be suffering from any of that kind of failure any longer, Stanley. The blue screen of death has almost disappeared and is typically related to hardware problems.
Okay, well, I've got a Dell i3 desktop.
I think what I would do is I would start by disconnecting everything you can from it and just leave the keyboard, mouse, and monitor and see if that eliminates the problem. Is it just while you're working it happens? Is it?
No, it could happen while I'm working. I could also walk away from it, you know, and leave it, you know, just live and then come back and then all of a sudden it's there. But it doesn't happen all the time. And I think this was effective as of, I would say even yesterday or the day before, but it happens maybe, it doesn't happen as much as it used to. It used to be a lot worse. It could go maybe 2-3 days without any problem, then all of a sudden, you know, every now and then I might be, well, for argument's sake, I might be working on Outlook or something and you know, going through things and then maybe all of a sudden we're going to that blue screen. But
yes, it was happening. Did you do the new Windows update?
I do it every time I get the pop-up for the update, I do that. And I do find out that it's loading much faster than it did before.
Well, you know, I think if you're seeing a blue screen, you are dealing with more than likely some kind of hardware issue. It's either driver issue or physically hardware is failing.
I use the Zoom text, which is, you know, for my visibility problem. And it's a pretty extensive program as far as, you know, resources and memory. So I'm just, unfortunately, I can't test it without that on.
I don't think that I would blame it on any software to begin with. I think I would try, I mean, it's a desktop, so you can get inside the case of it. I would check and see if it's full of dust and overheating. If you have cards in it, I would pull whatever cards you can.
Well, you know, with my problem, if I can't even take a regular 3-prong plug or 2-prong plug and I have to call my wife to plug it into the wall or something. I can't even do that.
You may have to find a computer guy to check it out for you if that's the case. It's just the blue screens are not. They're just, Windows 10 is very stable. The blue screens that I've encountered have all been related to drivers and hardware failures. They just don't, they just don't happen under just normal usage.
Yeah. Well, my keyboard that I use is specifically for Zoom text. It's not a regular standard keyboard. So.
Well, if you think you can blame it on Zoom text, then I would be looking for an update to their drivers for that keyboard and any other equipment that you might be using.
Okay.
They might have a software update that, I mean, maybe their software specifically is causing some problems.
Yeah. Well, luckily, it hasn't become a chronic problem, so I can live with it rather than trying to go the other route. It would be too difficult for me to go the other route. But it seems to be working okay for the most part.
Hey, you know what, Stanley, as we've been talking here, I'm on Zoom Text Zendesk. They've outsourced their support to.
Well, it the company that supports Zoom Text is I Square Technologies. It's a,
well,
it specializes in products for the visually handicapped.
Yes, yeah, and so I did a quick Google search on, where is it? On Zoom Text Blue Screen Windows 10, and one of the first articles I found was a blue screen happening when doing PowerPoint. Now, you're not saying you're doing PowerPoint, but the solution that they've given is make sure you have the latest version, because we have already fixed this issue. And what that tells me is you probably have to be checking with them regularly. Whenever there's an update with Windows, you need to check and see if there's a Zoom Text update as well.
Okay,
What is that?
I actually have two versions of Zoom Text, one which I use all the time that's very, very digital, and one I use only with Chrome, because the other version will not work with Chrome. So if I use Chrome, I have a yearly licensed installation of Zoom Text for specifically that. It is different than digital.
Stanley, still there? Did we lose you?
Yeah, I'm still here. Can you hear me?
Yes. I'm sorry. There's discussions going on in the background. Maybe muting microphones would be good.
Okay. I basically have two versions of Zoom Text. One that I use for Chrome, because the original version will not work with with Chrome. But the other one works with Windows Explorer, and everything else is much more versatile than the second version, which is on a yearly lease.
I only have a little bit of experience with Zoom Text. I've helped people install it throughout the years. Seems like it's been around since Windows XP.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody's talking in the background.
Yeah. Can you please mute your microphone if you can hear this? Hello? Okay. I guess it got muted. I was just looking for a way to mute it right here. Well, anyway, yeah, I think that makes the most sense, is whenever you're doing Windows updates, to also check Zoom Text for updates. You said there's two different you have two different versions. It sounds like you have an extension in Chrome, and then you also have the software that runs in Windows. And both of those represent things that would need to be updated.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Basically, yeah. Right. Actually, when I need to go into Chrome, I can exit my program and immediately go back into that program, use it on Chrome, which I really don't use much at all. And then when I'm through using the Chrome, I can exit and go back into the other one, which is really much, let's see, user friendly than the second. But I'm okay.
Okay. I wanted to thank Linda for her ThinkPad donation. Linda, this is a great computer. And I was able to pull out my trash computer that was falling apart. I was trying to find a replacement for it. I was actually going to do a Raspberry Pi replacement for it. And your laptop is, this is what really impressed me with the ThinkPad. I've got it right here behind me. Is that I was able to pull out my SSD drive from my computer that's dying, and slide it right into this ThinkPad. I'm running Elubuntu. I'm actually running Elubuntu with a dual boot. It can also run Windows 10. But I started up. under Elubuntu. It was ready to go. I didn't have to change anything. I didn't have to install any new drivers. I didn't have to do a new installation of the operating system. I literally pulled the hard drive. What did I do with the other hard drive? I pulled the hard drive and I stuck it in there and started it up, and away it went. I'm so grateful.
It was the hard drive?
I don't know. Here's the hard drive. I got it in front of me. I was going to test the hard drive to see if the hard drive was a problem. Okay, you can't see me yet. There we go. This is the original hard drive in it. And I'm going to do some tests on it to see if it, I actually didn't think it had any problems, but I'll check it out. You were having problems with a battery, and I've had it start up and say this is a counterfeit battery. It's not a counterfeit battery, obviously. I was able to pull it out, stick it in, start it up. It turns out that message is happening every so often, but not always. The last time I started it up, it didn't give me that message, and there's a green light on the battery, and under Ubuntu, it seems to, you know what I was going to tell you about the battery? The battery is toast. Under a battery managing software, Ubuntu has one built into it. Your battery in this laptop should have been around a 50 watt hours. That's what it, and what it actually has is 6 watt hours. So the only, it's 87% of the battery is toast. And so, maybe being in that bad a condition is causing it to freak out the BIOS and tell it it's a counterfeit battery.
Well, the thing is, it wasn't doing anything, and I completely rebooted the laptop.
Mm-hmm.
We took it back to nothing, and then it wouldn't do anything. I tried to go in and try to fix, to see if there was,
Well, maybe it was more than one problem, because I blew a lot of dust out of it. Maybe it was overheating at the same time as this battery thing.
But I clean it out all the time. That's what's really weird.
Well, I know that about you. I was surprised there was so much dust in it.
Right, and I put new memory in it too. But that laptop is old. That was my father's. He's been dead 6 years. So he had it like at least 3 years before that, so it's gotta be 10 years old. But it wasn't performing at all. We couldn't even hardly get it to go to the desktop. After I redid everything, I took everything out of it.
Yes.
So maybe it just needed a hard drive and a battery.
Well, you know,
to me, that's spending too much money on it.
Sure.
I got a solid state instead.
Yeah. Well, I should be able to tell you about the hard drive by next week, because I'll run it through some tests and see if it was failing.
Okay.
But the two big things right now, or the three big things, is the battery reports itself as counterfeit from time to time.
That's weird.
That's
the original battery.
Yeah, no, that was the first thing I checked out, and sure enough. But it is definitely toasted. There's 83% of it is just used up. That life is gone. If you were to run it on battery, it probably wouldn't run more than 6 minutes.
No, it doesn't even run a minute.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's not surprising because of the shape the battery's in. And then I was surprised that there was so much dust in it, which could cause an overheating situation, which would give you lousy performance. And I know you're very good about cleaning it out. I was just very surprised that it had that much dust in it. And then I switched the hard drive after I cleaned it out. I really didn't spend any time trying to make it work. I immediately just pulled it apart and cleaned it and stuck a different hard drive in it to see how it would behave.
Right.
And to give it, you said it's about 10 years old. I think you're right. That'll give you an idea of, this is an amazing upgrade from the computer I was using.
That it came with 7 and 8 in it, because 8 had just come out when we bought that laptop, and so it came with both the,
both
the sets.
Well, I only saw a license for 7 on it, but.
Right, but you see there's 8, the 8 discs are in the bag too.
Oh, cool. Yeah. No, and the hard drive, here's the other part of my story. Is that the hard drive I put in it has both Ubuntu, and Windows 10 partition on it.
Wow.
And when I booted it up under Windows 10, it had been so long since I'd used that partition that it was it immediately had hundreds of megabytes of downloads that needed to be done. It did not have the drivers. It didn't have the sound driver. It didn't have the video display driver. It didn't have the chipset driver. And so all that was going to have to be reinstalled. This is Windows 10. When I saw that it was going to take this mountain of effort to make Windows 10 work, that I just turned it off and went back to Ubuntu, because it's I typically run it under Linux anyway. I'm like, I'll get back to that later. I know all that can be sorted out, but what it was representing was time and effort and internet usage. And it wasn't the appropriate time to get into that can of worms. I'm sure it'll all install without too much effort compared to previous versions of Windows 10. But the real takeaway is Linux didn't require any effort. I pulled that hard drive out of a different computer completely, different chipset, different memory footprint, different video capacities. I plugged it in, and immediately I was using this computer.
Wow.
Another question?
Certainly, Chester. What do you got?
What's the latest on Bitcoin?
Ah, that's a, does anybody have anything? I haven't paid any attention to Bitcoin recently. I think the only Bitcoin news I have is that there was an encryption currency. I don't even remember the name of it, but it has just been bought. It's just been bought by Zoom so that they could acquire their encryption development team. And it looks to me like it is a marketing ploy more than anything else. They want to look like they're doing something about their security issues.
I can talk a little bit about Bitcoin.
Oh, do that, Irving.
Stanley? Yeah. a couple of interesting to come up. What is your basic question about Bitcoin?
Well, the basic question is, I've read something recently that predicted over time that would become the world's currency, and because it does not involve governments and therefore bypasses the situation like the U.S. where we just print more money and keep printing and keep printing, and the Bitcoin is fixed.
Okay, I'm gonna give you a little theory on the Bitcoin. First of all, if you get a chance, see if you can download or get a program called, you know, an audio book or something called Bitcoin Billionaires. It's very, very educational, first of all. Second of all, there's only so much volume that they have of Bitcoin. Right now, it hasn't reached its current, you know, from 1 to 100, it hasn't reached that. But when you look at the current volume of Bitcoin, they have what's known as halving. when Bitcoin reaches 50% of the amount of volume that they've sold, the theory is that if you will purchase it at that point and wait anywhere from 1 month to 1 year, that the market will go up. And basically,
I'm sorry, Stanley, you've disappeared from the audio. Are you still there? I think we've lost Stanley. Yep. Okay.
I was bumped off, I think, for a minute.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, honey. Talk to me after the club meeting.
Certainly.
Okay. Hi, guys.
I can add something on that, Scott, if you'd like.
Sure, yeah.
Well, I've been reading something different, that it's coming close to 87 or 89% of its supposed ceiling. I've always believed that's not going to be accurate because, like governments, they're going to steal after that. They're going to produce more. And also that original proponents, like large corporations, are steering away from it because of the enormous amount of fraud that's already been perpetrated in the Bitcoin market. And while it's still around, the other problem is that most Bitcoin may be used to launder money for cartels and other illegal enterprises. And that's it.
Well, I am not up to date on Bitcoin at all at the moment, so I can't talk to it in any other capacity than what I can pull out of my memory from when we were talking about it regularly. I've set up a free cam. Are you guys able to see my screen?
Yes.
So this is... This is a phone that I'm using as a camera, and I thought you guys might find it interesting, the project that we've got going on. This is what my office is looking like right now. Can you guys see that?
Well, I think your phone works better than your camera.
So is this a remodel?
It's got to be. I am going to be here through the summer, and so we are installing an air conditioner. But to do that, we need to fix this door. So they have come and ripped the door off my trailer/office. They're fixing the floor. There's a big hole in the floor. There is water damage all along one side. The door is sitting outside right now. I don't know if you can see that.
Wow.
So I thought you guys might find that interesting. And then I've emptied my bookshelf here because we're going to install an air conditioner right up there.
Back on here.
Scott.
Yeah.
The dog. He's got a cool machine.
Oh, the poor dog. For months now. Let me make some sense out of what I got going on here. For months now, the dog won't leave its foot alone. And for months, it's just been picking at this. So we've finally just put this cone on. And it's actually working within the last 48 hours. His foot's looking better. He's really unhappy. But looking better. It's starting to heal. She keeps messing with it.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. You're back.
Yeah, somehow I got disconnected, and I don't know how much of my message went through.
Well, here's the name of the book.
Right. And I did mention that the book is very informative. As far as the future is concerned, it will come, but it won't come right away. But it's, I'd say it's maybe 33% of the way right now. I'd say it could go, quite a bit, but it would take a good 10 years or more. And it is a safe, but you gotta know how to protect yourself with your peers.
Well, I understand they have it broken down now into 8 digits. There's one Bitcoin can be broken down into 8 digits for transactions.
Yeah, what you're going to find is like, you're going to find that people take this these digits that, and they put them in places where they can't lose them, whether it's in like bank vaults, or they might even try to separate it, the two separate things, so no one can get a hold of it. They'll put it in maybe one bank and the other half in another. That is the most important part of protecting yourself, is that 8-digit number. You can never lose that. If you do, you lose everything.
It's just right. Intriguing. I'd like to know more.
I go slow. If you want to do any investing, I would go very slow and look for the long term. Right now, you gotta find where the highs and lows are. you gotta look at it, you know, with some kind of knowledge about it.
I don't know. The people I know that have done Bitcoin, they don't recommend investing in it.
it has a bad rap, but it's been cleaned up quite a bit from where it was. As far as investing, if you're going to invest, it's for the long term, and you know, like when I don't say invest like thousands of dollars, I say maybe like invest maybe $50 a month or 100, and you know, nothing that's going to hurt you.
Stanley, do you have investments in Bitcoin right now?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Yeah, well, yes, I do. I put $50 into it just okay. to learn it, and it's still, whatever I had is still there, and I used it once to purchase a subscription for IPTV from a company that only accepts Bitcoin for invisible, so to speak. So that's why I went into it. I put $50 in it, and I used like $20 of it, you know, to purchase the subscription to check it out. That's why I went into it, but I learned an awful lot about it. And at best, very interesting. It's good knowledge to know. And then you can really make up your own mind, Basically, Bitcoin is unless you're very technical and doing a lot of things on the internet, you know, I'd say no. But a long run, it can't really hurt. You know, you might and it's like I say, it's very safe. The way it's broken down, the way all these transactions, this is where you gotta get that book, the Bitcoin Billionaires of Audio.
Very Stanley, I'm gonna interrupt for a second because you're giving so much misinformation here. I don't want people to get it. About 2 weeks ago, they had one of the largest Bitcoin holding banks go kaput, and everybody lost their money. And this has been a continuous thing. And it's pure gambling, and it's got all the earmarks of being a great place to steal, which anything with money has to be stolen eventually. And my advice is stay away from Bitcoin and any other scam junk like that.
Okay.
Probably very good advice.
We have to purchase the IPTV subscription with Bitcoin. But you just buy the Bitcoin for just that and that's it. You're not investing in it. Because they have a couple different ways of using Bitcoin. They have Bitcoin where you can pay with Bitcoin. They have Bitcoin ATM machines where you can pay. There's Bitcoin, different ways of using the Bitcoin. I have to buy my TV subscriptions with Bitcoin. And I use, now I'm using PayPal, but I was using local Bitcoins in Mexico, and it works out pretty good, but I no longer have my bank account there, and so I can't use the local Bitcoins. So now I'm using PayPal, and I just tried to buy 5 subscriptions, and the guy hasn't answered me now since yesterday. So I don't know what happened to him.
Ty, I do know that those ATMs are available in the United States.
Anyway,
there might be an ATM near you that you can buy your Bitcoin.
Is there somebody else trying to add to this conversation? Because they're bleeding through. Maybe mute your microphone if you're not talking.
Sounds like your mother.
Mom, mute your microphone if you're not talking.
It was me. Sorry, I'm coming
off. Okay. All right. Sorry, Mom. Blame Linda. Hey, I want to get off Bitcoin because I'm sure there's only a few of us that are really big enthusiastic Bitcoin people. I did think something a little bit more closer to home you guys would find interesting is that Amazon is cracking down on these Alexa scammers. I don't know if you've heard about this, but apparently what's going on is there's businesses out there on the internet that have made it their business to trick you into believing you need their help to set up Alexa. And so what they have is they have websites and apps to help you set up Alexa, instructions that also include giving them access to your resources. Amazon is taking a strong stance on this and is going after these companies. It's quasi-legal at the moment, but they're trying to set a precedence for shutting them down. I was surprised to hear that this is going on not only in India, but also another company they've brought suit against is in Washington State. These are things like setup guides for Echo, guides on the internet, as well as apps to help you. If you could imagine this, I mean, this is the kind of scenario where you've bought an Echo, you've brought it into your home, and you're not quite sure how to set it up. So you start Googling, and you think that you've gotten on a website from Amazon to help you get this thing set up. I thought this would make kind of a good public service announcement. In that if you bought an Echo from Amazon, it would come set up. So the biggest thing that you would be worrying about is getting it set up on your network. And part of this PSA should be you are looking for the Alexa app for your mobile device so that you can set it up on your Wi-Fi network. But you would find that in your app store. And it would be from Amazon. And I bring this whole topic up just to reaffirm that. If you're using an Amazon smart speaker, when you receive it, it will be set up with everything except for Wi-Fi. And setting up Wi-Fi requires you downloading the Amazon Alexa app from the Play Store or from the iTunes Store, the Apple Store. And you would sign into that app with your Amazon account, and it would ask you, what are you doing? You're setting up a new device, and it would have a button for you to press, and it would just walk you through it, getting it on your Wi-Fi. I hope this is a topic people find relevant and useful. I am going to put a link to this article on the blog. Does anybody want to ask me any questions about it?
Scott, I want to say something about it.
Certainly.
I'm sure that at least 10% of all companies that you think you're talking to directly to the company are actually third-party apps, third-party people that charge a surcharge, like especially hotel reservations and things like that, and you think you're talking to the hotel, and you actually have to get redirected to the hotel itself. And they will tell you, they won't even be honest about it. They'll say, yeah, this is, let's say, Holiday Inn. Yeah, you're talking to Holiday Inn. But in reality, you're not talking to Holiday Inn. It's a third-party people. And I once almost got swindled by the U.S. Coast Guard in exactly such an app, but I got it refunded. Only the U.S. Coast Guard documents vehicles. But this company, you thought you were 100% dealing with the Coast Guard, all the documents, all the papers, but over time, when it happened, I was able to contact them directly and find out that's what it was.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. This is the new kind of fraud that's going on, and the internet makes it possible for it to happen. I'm thinking that when I went to file my taxes, the site had suggested that I download the app so I would know when my approval was. And so out of curiosity, I went to see the app. And I was very nervous installing it. In fact, I've uninstalled it since just because it didn't give me the advantages that I supposedly thought I was going to get from it. It basically couldn't provide me with any more information than I could just go find myself. But what it did do is it provided an opportunity for me to be confused and think I'm using something legitimately and be taken advantage of. And I didn't feel like the IRS did a very good job in the App Store of making clear that it was the IRS app. I feel like I did download the legitimate app, but I had enough nervousness as a tech person that I wouldn't recommend that as a route. I don't trust the resources of the government to make sure that it's up and, I mean, that the app is up to date, that every time we have a security issue with an app that they would be making those changes. And the same information is available through their standard services. It's just...
That was kind of the same feeling I got when I was entering my information on the IRS.gov site to get a... direct deposit of my, whatever my relief check is really called, as opposed to an actual check. So it was kind of scary to put my banking information on the IRS.gov site.
Yeah, I really felt the same way when I just didn't feel like they had taken enough considerations for the things that would make somebody nervous. What else do I have here? We got Bitcoin and Linda's laptop and... Oh, have you heard there's a new version of Windows 10 about to come down the pipe? It's called 2004. And I have an article here. Where am I? I hope people are hearing me okay. I have an article here that is how to keep a copy of 1909 in case 2004 falls apart. So I'll put this on the website. If you are looking for a way to keep a copy of what Windows you're running right now in case something goes wrong in the future, this is a write-up on how to build a USB flash drive of Windows 10 with the purpose of reinstalling it on your computer or installing it on a different computer. And if you're a Windows 10 user, right now would be a good time to have something like this, because they're about to release a completely new version of it. If you're, why am I frozen? Come on, computer, move, do something. Can't seem to scroll for some reason. There we go. Yeah, so if you're not familiar with the way Windows 10 releases have been happening, but it's been about two major releases every year. And when we started Windows 10, we were on something called 1604. Actually, it was 15 something, and then 1604. And just recently, we've gone through a 1700 and an 1800, and now we're on a 1900. The next release, which is coming up in the next few months, is going to be a 2000 release. It's going to be 2004. I mean, I'm sorry, 2004. Each one of these releases is a really big deal, even though your experience is supposed to be no big deal at all. The analogy I would use is if you took your car to a mechanic and they ripped out last year's motor and they put in this year's motor, closed the hood, you got in the car and you started driving again. The windows, the seats, the radio, everything would be fairly the same, but everything that makes the car go would be different and you would be unaware of it. Because, I mean, following that analogy, because so much would be different, it's conceivable that it wouldn't all hook up correctly. Maybe all of a sudden you didn't have brakes. So it would be a good idea to just keep a copy of the last Windows that was running well on your computer to revert back in a worst case scenario. I think it's good to have a 16 gigabyte USB flash drive out there with a copy of Windows 10, just handy in case you find yourself in an experience where you just want the computer working again. And now's a good time to do that. So I'll put this link on the website so you guys can take a look at it. Those of you that care about this kind of stuff can take a look at it. Is there any questions anybody has about this?
Yeah, could you give us that webpage link?
I will, Chester. What I'm doing is I'm sticking these on the computer club site, the sccclub.org.
Okay.
So if you go to sccclub.org, these links will be on the blog post for today's meeting, and they'll stay there indefinitely.
Good.
I also, let's see, if there isn't any other questions about that, I also wanted to mention two things from way back. I keep forgetting to ask Judy about AT&T Wi-Fi calling. Are you still having the same experience? Do you remember what that is? Judy still with us?
I am. I was just trying to find my unmute button.
Oh.
It seems lately to have been working just fine. I haven't taken it off of Wi-Fi, and I've been able to make calls to the U.S. So, I don't know. Maybe it was a temporary glitch sometimes.
Well, that's great. That's the way we would want it. If it is a glitch, we don't want it sticking around. I have actually been sharing your experience with people, but I haven't found anyone to collaborate. I'm forgetting my English.
Collaborate.
Cheryl
here.
Yes, Cheryl.
I just wanted to update you on something going on with Zoom. Zoom is the meeting thing that I have to use with family, and I'm trying to use it with my book club that was created in San Carlos. And we've discovered a couple of things. They did an update where it seems like if you invite people to a meeting, they put a password on them all now, which is really frustrating. But you can change the password to make it something a little bit more meaningful. And the other thing is that when the 40-minute deadline comes up and they cut you off in the middle of whatever you're saying, if everybody just hangs off a little bit, the host can restart the meeting and away you go for another 40 minutes.
Well, that's great advice. You know, when we first started this, we were messing around with Zoom, and I think we had discovered that we could just sit around and wait, and it would just restart again. I'm sorry?
You're breaking up.
I'm breaking up? I think I'm suffering bandwidth problems here on my end. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you fine now.
Okay. Yeah, I've been watching my internet this morning just going up and down. I'm the only one on it. Everyone else is asleep in my house right now.
The voice is good, but the video is very shaky.
Yeah. I don't know what else to do about it, but Judy's experience here, I think, has been unique because I haven't been able to find anyone else suffering from the same problem. And so I'm happy to hear that it's gone.
It was more prevalent last season because another person down here was having the same issues with their AT&T phone. And it was so bad for them that they actually changed to T-Mobile.
Oh.
It seems to be much better since we talked about it. I guess they must have listened and done something.
Well, you know, one of the experiences I've been having recently is that if I call a U.S. This isn't related, but as long as we're talking about cell phones, I just wanted to share this. I've got a Mexican telcel phone. I end up calling a lot of U.S. numbers, a lot of U.S. cell phones. And what I've discovered this season is every one of those calls is a muddy, muddled conversation. It sounds horrible. It's difficult for them to hear me. It's difficult for me to hear them. I ask them to call me back from their U.S. phone, and it's a crisp, clear conversation. I don't know if anybody else is having those kinds of experiences, but I can verify with 100% success, calling me back, we end up in a great conversation, great quality conversation. If I'm calling from Telcel to your U.S. cell phone, it's muddy and a lot of bass, and it's very difficult to hear each other.
And does that happen when you're calling a U.S. cell phone that's here in Mexico?
Yes. In fact, I have not spent – well, I guess I've been calling my folks in Arizona on their Alaskan cell phone and have not had that experience. We have a fairly clear conversation. Wouldn't you agree, Mom? I think we have a fairly clear conversation when I call you guys. Not, you don't have to answer. Yeah, I don't even know if you're still there. But it seems to be only here in Mexico when I'm calling your U.S. cell phone in Mexico that it's got this lousy quality. Hey, I did say I had one other thing. I had two things. I have one other thing that I wanted to mention. And this is from weeks back. We were talking about how to share to a Roku. And I found a good article on it talking about what Roku supports. It's about sharing pictures, music, and videos to a Roku from an iOS or an Android device. And I won't get into it, but I'll make you aware that the article's here. I'll stick it on the website. I won't get into it because I read up on it for our next meeting, and now we're like four weeks later. And so I've forgotten everything. But if you own a Roku and you'd like to take the contents from your mobile device or your computer and put them on your big screen TV, take a look at this article that I'll put on our website because it has the instructions and the capacities, the capabilities of the Roku in that respect. And those are the topics I wanted to make sure we hit today. Does anybody want to bring anything else into our conversation?
Okay, Scott, I'm going to make a comment. I really do appreciate your choice of topic. Last year was, or last week was the Stormtrooper, and today is Superman. That's a beer mug. That's not a coffee mug.
Yeah, I know. That's a stew mug. For perspective.
I do have one. I'm sorry for
doing it. Go ahead, Judy. Try that again.
So next week, maybe you can walk me through. I do not have a smart TV in Colorado, so I'm going to have to either hook up Apple TV or Chromecast. So if I could get a consensus on which is best, so that I don't have to watch Netflix on my iPad. But that's a next week conversation.
Okay, so, but for this moment, Judy, are you asking for some opinions on what would be the best streaming device to get? I'm sorry, I'm losing you, I guess.
I don't know how to use either one of them, but which would be the best for me to use when I'm back in Colorado with a non-smart TV?
Ah, okay. All right. Yeah. In Colorado, you're more concerned about using it in Colorado than using it here.
I have a smart TV here. I don't need it here.
Okay. Well, just offhand, I would look at the latest Apple TV. It just got a rating as being the best streaming experience out of all the current technologies.
Mine's probably 3 years old, and I don't want to invest another $100 or so bucks in it. So.
Oh, you're talking for the price of the new Apple TV. So
yes, I currently have. I have an Apple TV box, and I have a Chromecast plug-in thing.
So you're just trying to choose one or the other for your Colorado experience.
Exactly. The ease of operation.
Okay. Well, you know, maybe the best way to think about it then is the you said you have a Chromecast, and what was the other device you have? The Apple TV. Okay. So the Chromecast is going to require you run it from a mobile device. So you have to really make the decision about which one's easier for you to deal with. The Apple TV gives you a remote in hand. I find a lot of people around here prefer that experience of holding a remote control when they're staring at a screen versus holding their phone or tablet shooting things over to a screen.
Okay, so that's the difference.
I'm sorry, Judy, you keep cutting out. Say your question again. I'm not hearing anything.
We didn't hear anything from you.
You didn't hear anything from me? I think.
Or I didn't. Not past holding the remote or non-holding the remote.
Oh, okay. So that's, to me, that's really the decision that you're making, Judy, is you're making the decision of whether you want to have a remote dedicated to the screen you're on or going to find your phone or tablet and using this to choose, using that phone or tablet to choose the content that you're basically shooting over to the Chromecast. I find a lot of people in this environment, they don't appreciate that. I find people like my kids think that's the way it's supposed to work. My kids, really, you watch how they operate, and they're on their tablet, they're on their phone, their eyes are here, and they're like, you know what, I want to put this on a bigger screen, and they hit the buttons here, and they look up to the bigger screen. Whereas I feel like my generation, your generation, a lot of us folks, when we look at a bigger screen, we look around for a remote control. And we expect all the activities of controlling that bigger screen to be on the big screen. Like, we've actually set our phone down so that we can have the big screen experience. And I think, Judy, you have to just figure out what you feel most comfortable with.
Okay.
I
have a remote with my little Apple box.
That's right. And that's what makes that a more appealing solution in most cases.
Okay.
And then I would say, if you are interested in spending a little bit of money on a streaming box, why not that Fire TV? The 4K is an absolutely amazing device. I'm still frustrated that I can't use it for Amazon content in Mexico. But it screams the remote control. Your user experience is so fast. I feel like so many of these devices, you're using the remote control and you're in this, I call it hurry up and wait. You press the button, and then you sit and you wait. You move it over, and you're watching it and you're waiting. And I feel like the original Amazon TV is that way, the international stick, the one that actually would support content in Mexico, is very much that way. You go left, you're looking at the screen. Now it's going left. You start an app, you're looking at the big screen, the app is finally starting. Whereas the 4K, you go left on the screen, it goes left. You go down, it goes down. I mean, just immediately, instantaneously. The user experience is what these devices are really what it's all about. And when it's taking fractions of a microsecond instead of a few milliseconds, you really feel that when you're using these products. So if you wanted to put a little bit of money into a new streaming device, that's the one I'm recommending these days. Because it's got a much better price than the Apple TV, and it's got a really good user experience. Any comments from the court?
Well, I have a comment. Why don't you just go buy an adapter for your tablet and plug it into the TV? So all you do, Samsung has one, so I'm sure Apple does.
Apple does have one.
And then it's got a HDMI on the other end. And those are not expensive.
And Apple has a dock you can dock your Apple equipment into and broadcast it through HDMI into a monitor, into a TV.
My other option is to buy a smart TV for Colorado.
Oh, I don't think you have to do that.
They are relatively inexpensive nowadays, so.
Well, it's because of all that tracking they're selling to marketers to make up the difference. Judy, don't go out and buy a TV set. If your TV set is working there and you're happy with it, there's no reason to buy it just for this activity. Yeah, I wouldn't talk anyone into replacing a perfectly working and functional flat screen that you're happy with the size and the resolution. I would never talk to you, say, oh, well, it has to be a smart TV. I definitely don't think in those terms.
Scott, I'd like to add something on that adapter that Linda mentioned.
Sure.
I bought that. It works fine. It's not cheap. It's probably $40-$50, but it's a fabulous thing if you travel to motels, hotels, or anywhere you travel. It goes with you anywhere, and you can run the TV off of your laptop or your pad or whatever. It works perfectly, and that's the big advantage of it. It's first, you can use it anywhere.
Well, I think that's a very good point. If you can plug it in to the TV and you can plug it into your tablet, then you're broadcasting your tablet on the TV. I was going to mention, I mean, I think actually, Irving, what you just said is a really powerful point that I hadn't thought about till just now. I was going to comment against it because it gives you the Chromecast experience, but then it's taking it out of your hand. You actually have to walk across the room because the tablet or phone has to be physically tethered to the TV. But Irving, your point is pretty smart because the Chromecast needs to be set up in those environments. If you want to put your phone on the TV in a motel, then not only do you have to plug something into the back of the TV, then you have to go through the hoops of setting it up on the local Wi-Fi, whatever the motel has provided you with, before you can start using it. Whereas the adapter that we're talking about only needs to get connected to the TV, then connected to the phone, and you're done. So,
and what is this adapter called again?
It would be in your case, it would probably be a FireWire HDMI adapter.
That's what it is. It's a Lightning HDMI adapter.
Lightning. In fact, I'm going to look it up.
Lightning
HDMI.
Adapter. I just want to add something that you need while you're using this. There's two power slots in there, and you have to add power to increase the power so it should be sufficient to run this this operation. If you just plug in the direct adapter, it'll be limited, and then it won't be continuous. It's a minor item, but it would just require you having another extension. I don't remember exactly what it is, but it's a nothing thing.
If you can see my screen right now, I've got it on Amazon.
Okay.
It's currently not available. Damn it.
Oh. But I see what it looks like. It looks like my Lightning cable with a little... on it.
Yeah, with an HDMI cable on the bottom of it. Let's see if that. Come on. Aw, what's going on, man?
So that plugs into my phone, and then the HDMI plugs into that device to the TV.
That's right.
Okay, got it.
And so, the real advantage of that is, like Irving was saying, you're able to just plug it in. And go. There's no setup that you would have to do with it. I don't know how I ended up in this Apple store. I'm proud that we're doing as well as we are with the strange internet behavior I've got going on at my house right now. Here it is. There's what it looks like. So there's an HDMI. If you can see my screen, it's an HDMI typical size. Would you stop moving around? The other plug next to it is a mini HDMI, which is becoming slightly more available. So there's two different options there. And if you're traveling with it, like Irving said, you'd also have to carry an HDMI cable with you more than likely, so that you can plug it into whatever TV you come across.
Okay. So I need...
Yes, but you also need the dual... You also need the dual adapter so you can plug in your... AC adapter, otherwise you'll run out of juice real quick.
Oh, Linda, that's an excellent point. Excellent point. In fact, I would buy them together. It would be, if, in fact, Judy, I'm going to keep it in mind and keep searching, but I bet there's a perfect accessory that includes charging and HDMI out. And that's really what you want if you're going to go with this solution, is you want to be able to plug it into power and the TV at the same time. This one we're looking at does not allow that. I don't believe. Let's light
that would work. You just with the dual plug-in so that you can plug you can plug your AC adapter into one side and plug that into the other.
Yeah, that's really what you want. You want some kind of lightning splitter for charging and for HDMI.
That's the third splitter.
Yeah. So I'll keep it in mind, Judy, and I'll keep looking around to see if we can find something.
Thank you.
Yeah, but that's the kind of thing that you're looking for is, in fact, I'm going to write it down on my list here. Lightning to HDMI power split. Come on.
Okie dokie. Thank you.
You're welcome.
See you. Bye. I'm leaving.
Is everybody leaving? Are we all out of here?
We're out of here. It's almost 10:30. We're gone.
Oh, my gosh. I had no idea we were so entertaining. Thank you, guys, for showing up.
Okay.
I'm here.
I really appreciate your interest each week in joining me for the San Carlos Computer Club. We're still meeting Saturday mornings at 9, and hopefully by next week I will not be sweating on camera. I will be sitting in a chilled, air-conditioned office with a new door on it. Until next week, you guys have a great quarantine. Oh, what's that, Bill?
I want you to note the my new rag that I'm wearing today. Can you see it?
I can. It's a little fuzzy, though. I can't tell the design. Stick it down there by the camera.
Superman.
Awesome.
It's Superman. Yeah, and we don't need no stinking air conditioning.
Yeah, well, you're in Canada, man. You're in Canada.
It's 20 above here today.
Right, it's like 90 degrees in my trailer right now. I've got to quit the meeting, not because we're over, but because I'm too wet to go on. I'm going to short something out.
See you next week, Scott.
I'll see you guys next week. Thanks for showing up, and let me know if I can. Hey, we're doing all remote work, so let me know if I can help you with anything. I can do it from this desk right here. Until next week, tech on.
Scott.
Oh yes.
Is your phone number on the website?
Well, our office number's on the website. I can give you my cell phone right now if you're interested. It's area code 622, phone number 855-8299. Hey, Irving, I was curious, are you still here in San Carlos? I can't hear you. Oh.
No.
You're Arizona. Oh, I'm sorry, you're breaking up. I can't hear you. It could just
be in San Carlos.
Okay. Wow. Irving, I'm gonna let you go because I can't hear what you're saying. It's just breaking up on me right now. I see you talking, but I can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, that's working.
Okay.
No, now it's gone.
He said he would give you a call.
Okay, great. Mom, you were actually able to hear him?
Yes, I can hear him.
Okay, I must be having some issues on my end right now. But that's a good timing to put an end to this. So I'm going to say goodbye. And I think I need to talk to Jim and to Mom after this. So I will talk to you guys shortly. Adios, everybody. Oh, I need to turn on a fan. right.